from KQED. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Mina Kim, in for Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum, we look at the birth of the electric guitar. Ian Port, the former SF Weekly music critic, has written about the rivalry between guitar makers Leo Fender and Les Paul. We'll hear how it shaped the rock and roll sounds we know and love. But first, we'll talk Bart and its recent survey showing its lowest customer satisfaction rating yet. That's all next on Forum. Join us. Welcome to Forum. I'm Mina Kim, in this morning for Michael Krasny. Bart's approval rating has hit a record low among riders, coming in at 56% in a new survey of more than 5,000 passengers. That's despite the addition of new train cars and the transit agency's efforts to clean stations and deal with security issues. We dig into the results and what they mean for the agency and for riders. And we want to hear from you. If you could change one thing about Bart, what would it be? The number is 866-733-6786. Again, 866-733-6786. You can post your comments on Facebook, on Twitter, at KQED Forum, email us, forum@kqed.org, or post your comments on our website, kqed.org/forum. Joining us is Bevan Dufty, president of the BART Board of Directors. He also represents BART's District 9 in San Francisco. Good morning, Bevan Dufty.
Good to be with you. Thank you.
Thank you for being here. Also with us is Dan Brecke, KQED News' editor and reporter. And Dan, I'm going to start with you if I could.
Okay.
Only 56% customer satisfaction rating. They're saying it's the lowest ever. Compared to what in the past, Dan?
Well, compared to actually fairly high ratings that began to appear around 2004. This is a survey that's done every 2 years. And, you know, going back a little ways, back in the late 90s, BART had a bit of a crisis. People were upset with lots and lots of issues, everything from balky fare gates to long lines getting out of stations. And the system actually made an attempt to invest in things and really right the ship. And they raised their satisfaction level from 74% in 98 to about 86% just 6 years later.
Wow.
The decline we're seeing now is actually of long standing. It goes back to 2012. And it's interesting, if you look at the ridership curve, the number of people on BART, that goes up while satisfaction goes down. So that gives you a clue about one of the causes. I mean, crowding into a system that may not have been prepared for the throngs that have showed up is part of the issue. So, you know, finally, you know, a few years ago, they were at 74% approval, then 69% a couple years ago, 2016. That was the all-time low. And now we're at the real all-time low, 56, as you said. And just for comparison's sake, you know, it seems that most transit agencies float around about the 70% mark, a high 60s, low 70s. Maybe that means that there's always a third of the population that's going to be a little grumpy about something. But, you know, for instance, Muni has been around 70. For a long time.
Well, what were the chief complaints that drove these low numbers?
Well, I think if you're a regular rider, there's nothing here that's going to surprise you. And in fact, you know, talking to Director Dufty yesterday, Director Deborah Allen from Contra Costa County, one of the things I asked was, is there any surprise? And they agreed there wasn't. So it's the issue of perceived, rampant fare evasion, seeing people go through the gates without paying. It's the presence of mentally ill and homeless people on the trains in large numbers or larger numbers than ever before. It's the perceived dirt and filth on the system, both the trains and the station platforms. And so all that adds up. And finally, and this is a big one, and it's something we've talked about in the last 6 months specifically, is people's sense of personal security has declined. People do not feel safe, and they don't feel that they're seeing enough police on the trains.
And Bevin Dufty, president of the BART Board of Directors, not a surprise for you that these numbers came in so low. How do you explain them?
Well, let me start and simply say that I want to apologize as a BART director for the past 2 years, and I'm president of the board this year. I want to apologize for the experiences that riders have had that have brought these numbers in so low. We survey every 2 years. Over 5,000 respondents are part of this survey, and it's not a surprise because what the riders see as the problems are really what we're seeking to tackle and change.
But you mean apologize for what? For not being able to manage them? What have you been doing wrong?
Well, I think that there has been a lack of reinvestment in BART. We had Measure RR pass in the 2016 election, and we've been working diligently to reinvest in our system. I think that that is a big part of the problem, is just that our trains are many are 45 or 50 years old, and they're just hanging on by a thread. And so when people are frustrated because they're seeing a 6-car train instead of a 10-car train, that's because we're struggling to keep 89% of our rolling stock. And we do have trains that are coming in, and that is going to have an impact. But we're also like everyone else in the Bay Area. We are impacted by the crisis of homelessness. This is something that I've worked on, and we need the partnership of our cities and counties around the Bay in order to address this, because we're a transportation agency, not a social service agency. But in the past year, we've invested. We've had the San Francisco Homeless Outreach Team for the first time in our stations in the downtown area, and they have had in 1 year 703 contacts with individuals. Of those, 76% accepted some form of service, and about 26% moved into housing, got into emergency or other forms of housing. And we have funded that jointly with Muni, with the MTA. We just started a week ago a homeless outreach team out in Contra Costa, where Director Allen is. A year ago, she and I met with homeless services people in Contra Costa who do an amazing job, but oftentimes people that are from the core of San Francisco who are homeless wind up being stuck out at the stations at the end of the line, and that creates issues. We've had elevator attendants that we started about 8 months ago, and it's been hugely successful at our Civic Center in Powell Station. We have four elevators that have attendants full-time, and we have 1,200 people a day in wheelchairs that now can safely travel to the street or to a train in our system and not roll into a situation with urine or worse, or people shooting up or feeling threatened. So our priority is addressing these issues. Like other police authorities in the Bay Area, we've had a difficult time with recruitment. We're about 20% down. We just negotiated a contract with the BART Police Officers Association, and there is going to be a salary increase that's going to make us more competitive. And for me, as the president of the BART board, the program I want to see this year is an ambassador program. The holy grail of changing the perceptions around Muni are having BART personnel on the trains and in the stations, especially on evenings and weekends when people feel very alone. And oftentimes on some of these trains, you have a lot of people that are homeless. So partnering with Mayor London Breed, the San Francisco Police Department, look at Civic Center Station, how much we changed it over the course of the past 8 months.
So if you've implemented very successful programs, as you say, and there's all this new investment, how long is it going to take for passengers, for riders to feel those results? Because clearly 56% means that they aren't yet.
Absolutely. You're correct in that. And I think that there are two horizons I look at. I think the near term and the next year or two, as we pursue more initiatives. And we had 21 vacant custodial positions about 14 months ago, and they're all filled. And we've totally changed how we're looking at cleaning. We never used to train our employees, which seemed crazy to me. And we now have 2 certification program for cleaners. So we fully staffed our cleaning. I think if you go into the core stations, which are really the stations that have had the worst problem with cleanliness and such, I think you'll see that you see the resources happening there. But there's also a longer horizon that we are investing right now. We're going to have 1,200 new trains over the next several years, new track, a new train control system. Our train control system dates back to 1968. You already are getting, the numbers show that less screeching is coming from the trains because we're doing a better job of grinding the tracks. So there's a short term where we really have to get our customers happy and feeling safer, because when we lose riders, our budget is compromised. We're not like some municipal transit systems that only 50% of their operations come from fare box. We're the number one system in the country where we rely upon our riders. Over 80% of our operations are funded by fare box. And so we have to respond to the numbers that we see in this survey and do a better job.
Well, let's hear from our listeners. And again, now's your chance to tell the president of BART's board of directors what's most important to you to change on BART. What is one thing you would focus on if you could change one thing about Bay Area Rapid Transit? We start with Peter in Oakland. Hi, Peter.
Hi there. I'm just going into the tunnel, so let's hope this works. But I ride BART every day, the Richmond line, and what, as the first person said, the trains are just filthy. I see fare jumpers every day. I see 85-pound pit bulls on the train. And I know that the people that work the booths aren't police, but it just seems like a free-for-all. You have the people rapping and dancing in the cars. It's just a drag to take sometimes. And I love BART, and I just want to see it get better.
Peter, thanks for your point. Bevan Duffy, you want to respond?
Yeah, Peter brings up an excellent point. Fare evasion is costing the BART system an estimated $15 to $25 million a year. I just went to Cubic with our assistant general manager, Tamar Allen, for operations because we're looking at what can we do to make the system less porous. You can go into many stations and see that we've raised the railings around our stations to 5 feet, which makes them more difficult to jump. But our fare gates need to be changed. They're just too easy to compromise. And that's something that we're focusing on this week when we get together for our workshop, to make it much more difficult to raise some of the apparatus for the fare gate so that people can't launch over them. But I know that that's something that really undermines confidence within the system. And again, I've been seeking to have an ambassador program similar to MUTI that would put trained individuals who have trained in de-escalation, working with people that are homeless, who can both summon the police when necessary but are not themselves individuals who are going to write tickets or run people's warrants checks or so forth. They're going to be welcomed, I think, to work with everyone and make it a more respectful ride.
Well, let's go next to Sean in Piedmont. Hi, Sean.
Hi. My question is, first off, comment, I love BART, but I would like to hear the sound get much quieter. The rails squeak like crazy, and I wonder if there's a risk for hearing damage to me and particularly my children.
Sean, thanks for the question. Interestingly, Dan Brecky, this was one area that improved a little bit in terms of the noise of the train. Does that include the screeching that Sean is discussing?
Well, that's generally what people are talking about. When you're underground on BART, the rails can be very loud. You have steel on steel there. As Director Duffy pointed out, there is an ongoing program to regrind both wheel profiles and rails to reduce the kind of friction that creates that noise. I mean, my subjective view is that things have actually gotten somewhat better. And in the survey, that was one of the few areas where people sort of said, thumbs up, this is getting better. In terms of hearing damage, I think people have assessed that. I just actually went in for a hearing test myself, and my audiologist said, don't worry about it.
Oh, you asked specifically about this. But Sean is in Piedmont. If you're doing a better job grinding the rails, I think is what you said, why isn't he hearing the difference at this point? Are there certain areas that you focused on more than others in the region?
No, definitely for me, one of the loudest areas were when you're coming to the Transbay Tube. Yeah. And so that, to me, I've noticed a difference. But, I mean, I think the bigger picture is that I've come to appreciate that sometimes the bad experiences linger much more than sort of the mundane neutral experiences. And so I think we've all had really bad experiences, situations that we've seen that are absolutely unacceptable. And I think that those really linger with us. And so I want to totally acknowledge what these findings are. I want to point out that one of the very difficult aspects of this is that this survey happened about 3 weeks after the murder of Neil Wilson on our system. And that was really such a seminal event that I think made everyone within BART and all of our riders and people in the greater Bay Area community just stop and say, how could something like this happen? And so I want to acknowledge that I think that these are all the priorities that we have are the problems that our respondents have cited here, and we are going to do a better job.
So you're saying the numbers on personal security might not have been as bad if the timing of this survey had been better because it came in the wake of Nia Wilson's murder, who, if we remind people, she and her sister were stabbed in the neck at MacArthur BART station, and the man charged with the murder was apprehended the next day at the Pleasant Hill BART station. So, that
Yes, and he'd already been, and he was someone on parole, so he should have been hopefully better supervised. But I'm not going to say that. I'm just going to say that the context in which this survey happened was a difficult time for Bart. People's issues around personal security and the changing ways in which people travel. I mean, we are losing riders to Lyft and Uber. I mean, there's no question about it. And so we're trying to do some new things with apps where we allow a discount for people traveling together. But yes, I think that the issue of personal security is it is in the forefront of everything that we're going to be doing over the next year to two to make our riders feel like that. Again, this is why I want an ambassador program, because it's going to take some time to recruit full staffing of our police officers. Some people don't feel safer having an armed officer on the car, and that's why I'd like to see an ambassador that I think can troubleshoot and, again, bring down the conflict situation and really address problems that the riders are experiencing when they're just trying to get to home or work.
And again, Bevan Dufty is president of the BART Board of Directors. He represents BART's District 9 in San Francisco. We've also got Dan Brecky with us, editor and reporter for KQED News. You're talking about how you don't want to lose riders, but Dan Brecky earlier was saying how just the number of riders, the crowding is in part what's being reflected in these low approval numbers. So right. Are you saying that you're losing a lot of riders? You're trying to get more riders, even if the system feels clogged?
On our weekday peaks, we're pretty consistent. I mean, where the drop-off has occurred is really on the evenings and weekends. But, I mean, again, to the point of what we're doing with our reinvestment in a new train control system, instead of 24 trains an hour going through the Transbay Tube, we're going to have 30 trains an hour. So that's a big increase in just in capacity. And we're going to have these trains allow more people to be on them. There's a lot of standing room. And I think the way they're designed with three doors in each car makes it easier. You're not getting stuck in the middle of the train and feeling like you've got to start moving two stations ahead. Things are going to change. I mean, we are making the right investments, but, you know, getting to new rail cars, it's not an easy proposition. It is taking longer than what we'd like to see. So I think that we are in sync with our riders. I'm not looking at anything here and saying, no, they're wrong. This is an unfair assessment. It's just difficult because I can see on the horizon that we want to be a world-class system again over the next 6 to 7 years when all of these programs that we're implementing to reinvest in a system that was really threadbare for years.
Well, what I hear you asking is actually for riders to be patient.
Not necessarily, because, and let me say to the gentleman that said he saw untoward situations, there is a BART Watch app. And I will tell you that one morning I was on a very crowded train going to Oakland, and there was a gentleman, a tall gentleman who was quite mentally ill. I couldn't fully see him at the other end of the train, but I could tell that he had a walker and he was hitting people. And I used the BART Watch app and identified what the situation was. And two stops later, an officer came on, and I was incredibly proud of how he handled himself. It was totally de-escalated the situation. People had gotten off at Montgomery. He asked him if he was safe. The gentleman said some concerns he had. The officer talked to him. And, you know, I rode the rest of the way, and the gentleman talked to himself, but he wasn't yelling and screaming and, you know, being physical. So please use the BART Watch app. Please complain to us. I mean, the thing about riders, like I was a city supervisor. I thought that was the least popular job in the world. But I can tell you that our riders, they have a lot of information and insight. And just give it to us. We want to hear it.
Well, let's hear from Carol in Oakland. Hi, Carol. You're on Forum.
Hi. My concerns are around reliability. I work in the city, but I have to take BART in and out. And I've come to the point where I feel like I need to find a job in the East Bay so that I can drive there and get to work on time, and then also get home on time to pick up my kids. I would say at like 40 to 50% of the time, I cannot rely on BART to be on time. And as a young mom with kids, I just don't have that extra hour or hour and a half to plan that buffer in my day.
Thanks, Carol. I appreciate that. Let me hear next from Rob in Fremont. Hi, Rob. What about you? What would you like Bevan Dufty to know?
What is the plan for improving parking at BART stations? Because Fremont has overflow parking, which is residential. Union City has a huge lot, which is like a 10-15 minute walk. How does that improve our feasibility to access BART?
Thanks, Rob.
Yes, I realize that parking is a critical issue, and the BART board is somewhat unusual in that it's a mix of suburban and urban directors, and so we have to work and support one another. So there is going to be a presentation on parking. We just took some steps to expand parking in our Antioch parking lot, where eBART has been enormously successful, and we recognize that we need more capacity. So I certainly, as an urban director, am empathetic that when people say that they pull into a parking lot at 6 or 6:15 in the morning and all the spots are gone, that hurts our system. So I appreciate you making that point.
All right. Well, we're hearing about parking, reliability, and now Paula in San Francisco. What would you like to say?
I'm just wondering what kind of investment is being made into infrastructure at the stations, like the escalators. I have horrible knees, and there's nothing worse than being that slowpoke going up the stairs because the escalator's out, and there's steep stairs. I'm wondering, how are we going to keep those stations usable?
Station infrastructure.
Absolutely. So, Paula, you're making a great point, because we have 41 escalators in our downtown San Francisco stations, and all of them are double past their useful life. They're usually 20 to 25 years, and these escalators have been in operation over 40 years, which is why we see so many breakdowns. So we are in the process of replacing or substantially rebuilding all of the escalators within our system. And over the next 3 years, unfortunately, you're going to see some escalators shut down. But if it's shut down for a month or two, you know that they're putting in a new, new control system. And so it's something that will last for the next 25 years.
Well, Paula, thanks for your question. Matt writes, BART has persistently asked for more and more transportation money to be diverted to its budget. We have received nothing in exchange for that except a few new cars and a separate train from Antioch to Bay Point. Another listener tweets, perhaps you can use these surveys to collect feedback from customers more frequently than every 2 years. This way you can know what improvements are working and what stations need work. Jacques tweets, an actual authoritative presence would be nice to enforce the rules. There's no staff, no security, no cops, nothing. I see people sell drugs, do drugs, fight, blast music, eat, evade fare, etc., etc. When I take a late night train home to Fremont, it's 100 times worse. Let me try to get Jessica from Oakland in here. Hi, Jessica.
Hi. I am calling. First, I wanted to make a few comments on something that another caller said. I've never had bad interactions with any of the animals that are on BART. And I've also never had a negative interaction with any of the kids who are dancing on BART. And I think that it's a really wonderful thing that they're providing fun entertainment on the train, and they're making money without getting into trouble or doing anything sketchy on the streets. And they're always really, really sweet. My question is, why doesn't BART increase its ride times to 24 hours a day, which would not only help cut down on drunk driving, but it would make public transportation accessible for people who have to work late into the evening hours?
Jessica, thanks. We have 10 seconds, Bevan.
Sure. I want to say that we are studying a second Transbay crossing, and we really need that redundancy in order to go 24 hours operation. So I think that that's something that is probably the next generation 20 years down the road. But Senator Feinstein has prioritized getting resources so we can build a second Transbay tube. And I think that really is a future it could carry, not only BART, but also Caltrain and other systems.
And Dan Brecky, hours of operation was the one of the few bright spots.
Yeah, trains are running directly to the East Bay until after 9 o'clock if you're on the Richmond line, which is a huge improvement, very convenient for people who can't get out of the office earlier.
Well, Dan Brecky, editor and reporter for KQED News, thanks.
You're welcome.
And Bevan Dufty, president of the BART Board of Directors, thanks so much for talking with us this morning.
Thank you both.
As well.
Good morning.
We appreciate it. And thanks to our listeners for your thoughts and insights. Stay with us for a half hour on the electric guitar next on Forum. I'm Mina Kim in for Michael.